Graham, maybe break that down for a minute. Maybe break that down. Where is the water coming from? What's the...
Well, that's a great question. What's really interesting about the St. John River or Wollastoq watershed is that it is transboundary. And in many ways, it's four nations. If you count Maine, the province of Quebec, which considers itself a nation in many regards and is in many regards, New Brunswick, and of course, our First Nations as well. And that means that there are a great many jurisdictions, a great many, not just landowners, but institutions which are charged with the care of this watershed. And so when we get these snows up north, and as our climate change models, at least in New Brunswick, show, there'll be increased precipitation in coming years on to 2050 and onward. And as that meltwater comes with an earlier spring in some cases, we're getting this increased freshet. I mean, yes, a freshet is a natural spring event. We even have whole streams which only exist during a freshet event.
Right.
And that's a normal part of our geography. Mm-hmm. But when it's coming at this rate and at this volume, we built in areas which we weren't prepared to see this happen in. And that's something that comes along with, we're all attracted to water as humans. Mm-hmm. All of our greatest cities for a great many years were all located where there was food or water and a source. And here we are in St. John, a wonderful example, with so many beautiful waterfronts and lakes and the Bay of Fundy. Mm-hmm. And that attraction to water has put a lot of people in precarious positions. So I want to ask Don a little bit about what he sees as a municipal role for this. Because again, people have a difficulty parsing, I think, sometimes those differences, where we as citizens of St. John and where the office of the mayor and the council and the staff of St. John can help those same people. We're talking about the heartbreak that they're experiencing to find resiliency, to find a life that doesn't involve sandbagging and calling you to see about volunteers every spring.
Yeah, so a couple of things. I you know, for me, it starts with, you know, not dismissing it as a spring flood and that probably next year it'll be great. Everything will be wonderful. I think, you know, we have to recognize that, you know, there's enough indicators, you know, across the, you know, the globe and in Canada and right here in New Brunswick, and then bring it right home to our beautiful city. There's lots of indicators that we're in changing times. The city is, as you know, we're working with you, Graham. I'm proud. I'm not an expert, but, you know, I believe we don't have our heads in the sand. I mean, we're going to have to adapt and we're going to have to change. So our climate adaptation plan, you know, the greenhouse gas, emissions and energy use reduction plans. So you have to have the plans. It can't just be words. I've been approached many, many times about, I know it's a symbolic gesture that the climate emergency motions that some councils, and I just want to understand it. I'm saying to Linnea and others, look, we are taking action. I use the word in my media interviews yesterday, climate emergency. I believe, you know, we're in an emergency situation. But I also can tell you that if I were to take a stab at it, probably 85% of motions that came before the council over the last 15 years never went anywhere because they were, you know, great to get your name in the in the newspaper. I don't want that. I want meaningful dialogue and meaningful action. So back to your question, Graham, I for sure we're going to have to adapt here in St. John. We're going to have to adapt, you know, how we build, where we build, those standards, you know, our infrastructure. We've already had that conversation. Where we've estimated, you know, round one, $20 million, round two, probably $75 to $100 million worth of infrastructure that's being climate impacted now. But it can't just be us. Has to be our neighbors, has to be the province of New Brunswick, has to be interprovincial. And you know, we don't do that well, right? We don't do that, whether it's an energy project or anything else. We don't do the interprovincial thing very well. And I'm gonna get myself probably in a bit of trouble. I'd say, you know, let's sprinkle in a little bit of politics over all this too, right? And we still have, you know, politicians that are that are taking the climate change doesn't exist positions, and so I think we also have to navigate through the politics of this. You know, it's hard to say, you know what, folks, we're not building any more X, Y, or Z's because we have to put money into renewing our core infrastructure that that, but that's the prudent and the right mm-hmm. thing to do. So I think it's a conversation that cities and provinces need to have together. And I thank you for the education, Graham, on, you know, where does all this water come from? Uh-huh. You know, thank you for that. And it just shows that like we have to pull the onion back and understand at the root mm-hmm. cause, what is going on mm-hmm. and yeah. what are we going to do about it? And for not only, you know, present generations, but future generations, be leaders. And, you know, for me, I don't understand all the implications or the ripples or what I call the knock-on impacts yet. Mm-hmm. But I certainly know that what we're facing is not just a one-off, and that we right. have a responsibility mm-hmm. and an obligation to work through this and, you know, let data and make good decisions mm-hmm. and put plans in place.